Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
Life is long and at the same time, extremely short. What you do with your life, it is very, very important. But when we have been called by God, it is a lifetime assignment. Whatever that you are going through, you should not be losing faith. But stand and know that God is with you and his plan shall surely come to fulfillment. No matter what happened, you should not be given way for the enemy to come in and do anything against God's plan for your life, because that is the only reason why we keep breathing. We have a word from the Lord and we title it Principles of Sowing and Reaping. Principles of Sowing and Reaping. The book of Romans chapter 6 and the verses 1 to 4. The word of God says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newest of life. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord because according to this word, we should not frustrate the grace of God in our lives. Is it because grace abound that we may continue sinning? Say, God forbid. The book of Romans chapter 6 and the verses 14 says that he said the law, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are what? You are under grace. Sin having dominion over you, it means that you become a slave to sin. It means that sin rules over you. But the Lord made it very clear. He said, you have come to the level of grace, you will not be a slave to sin, or you will not be serving sin. It is completely the opposite. You will have absolute dominion over sin. So, in other words, the scripture that we just read, the Romans 6, 1 to 4 that we read, the explanation is that truly, the baptism that we have gone through as children of God, it is for us to be identified with the death and also the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Baptism, it is meant to bury our past. It is meant to bury our past and rise up, that is the resurrection aspect of it, with the newest of life. So, the things, the former things, they are buried and now coming out with new things that the Lord has called us to do. Corinthians 5:17 said that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creature. The old things, they have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. And we do know that physically, when we are baptized and come out from that water, it is a new resurrection. When you have come to Christ, it's a new resurrection. You are now a new person, and the Lord required of you to walk in the newest of life. The Adamic nature, it is buried. But it is something that you have to be conscious about it, that indeed you are no more the same person. Physically, you look the same, but spiritually, something great has been taking place, and you have to accept it, have that faith, and continue doing what the Lord God has called you to do. You know, Christ has done so much for us. And as children of God, we stand on certain promises. And we say that I am a child of God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me. If I commit sin, the blood of Jesus is available to cleanse my sins. And we boast out of it, but most of the time, we are not seeing the conditions that are attached. And we stand to claim promises. You know, 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 5 to 10. Let me quickly read it. Apostle John said, "This then is the message which we have heard of Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light." That God is light. "And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. God is light and there is no darkness in him." So if we, children of God, we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We walk with God and have fellowship one with another. Then he said, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." So this is very important. Before we claim the promise, the condition here is that if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sins. So when I read such a scripture, it speaks to me. It comforts my heart. At the same time, it counseled me about my everyday walk. Because I cannot entertain darkness around me and frustrate the grace of God over my life. There is a condition attached for this blood to cleanse my sin. If I am in the light and I have fellowship with God, I will not be struggling having fellowship with my neighbor. And if for any reason in my fellowship I wrong someone or I commit any sin, it is not something that I want to do it or I did it purposely. But like he said, if we say we have no sin, then we make God a liar. When you have come to realize that something has gone wrong, quickly come in before the Lord and confess. So verse 8 of John, of 1 John, so we are reading from 1 John 1, 5 to 10. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So the problem is not about the sin that you have committed. The problem is about you being conscious of who you are, where you are, and whom you are having fellowship with. When one is conscious about his state as a child of God, baptized and rose from the death, so now walking in the newest of life, there are certain things that you will not be entertained in your life. Sin cannot have dominion over you because you are in the light. Sin cannot have dominion over you because your eyes is constantly set on God. But the Lord said, for any reason, if something has gone wrong, the salvation tool, the blood is still available. Come and confess your sin so that Satan will not take advantage of it. And the Lord will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is there, and it is there for us. But it is not there to be using it, or to be, you know, to think that because it is there, then I can commit sin and just come and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I know it is there, but I'm doing as much as I can, staying in that light and avoiding sin, because the wages of sin is death. There is no sin without punishment. Every time that we sin, you come short in the glory of God. The blood of Jesus cleanses you so that you will not, you know, the enemy will not have hold of you. But it is not because of that you will entertain sin in your life. We have to be conscious about it. Every single thing that any one of us does, it is all going to be what? To be paid. You sow, you will reap. Whatever that you sow, you just have to know that you will reap. If you sow in righteousness, you will reap bountifully. Bountiful righteousness. If you sow in wickedness, hidden and doing things, thinking that no one has seen you, you might escape the physical court, or the earthly court, or the world court, or the judgment, the physical judgment over here, but you cannot escape heavenly judgment. So the moment that one is living in the consciousness of the presence of God, it changes your attitude in life. It is not about others. It is about your fellowship with God. And if you have fellowship with God, you will be able to have fellowship to one another. Because you will start seeing people in the sight of Almighty God. You will put aside judgment against people. You will see things from God's perspective. You will not, you know, downgrade people, or you will not, you know, minimize people. You will not be gossiping. You will not. So many things that. Why? Because you will start seeing the image of God in others. And most importantly, what you don't want people to do to you, you will not be doing those things to them. Whatever that you sow, you will reap. Principle number one, whatever that you sow, you reap. Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 7. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a law. It's God's law. It's Christ's law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Matthew 26, 52 says, he said, then said Jesus unto him, This was the case that they came to take Jesus Christ. Judas led those soldiers and came where Christ was, and they were coming to take Jesus Christ. So Peter picked up the sword and cut one of the soldiers' ear. And when Jesus saw that, the Lord picked up that ear and put it back and told Peter, "Peter, put up again thy sword unto his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." All they that take the sword shall what? Shall perish with the sword. And I say this, I say that as a person's action is, so is his reward. As a person's action is, so is his reward. You cannot be moving around crucifying people and thinking that you will not be crucified. You cannot be moving around hidden things against people and thinking that you will be going scot-free. We have to be very careful the way that we relate to each other and the kingdom principle that we are subject to. Whatsoever that a man soweth, you will reap. You might not reap it from the world here, but definitely the day of judgment, the book of Christ that records every single moment of our lives, that book shall be open. What earth could not detect and judge you accordingly, it cannot escape the heavenly records. As a person's action is, so is his reward. Principle number two. You will reap what you sow with increase. You will reap what you sow with increase. Hosea chapter 8 and the verse is 7. The word of God says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the wild wind." They sow the wind, but they shall reap the wild wind. So it means that there is an increase and great increase. Increase beyond anything that you are thinking of. Anything that you do will be duplicated with increase to you. Anything that you do will be duplicated with increase to you. So we might lose some of our records here on earth, as I'm saying, but let me tell you this. You can even set ablaze your house on fire to destroy anything, any record, and hide every single thing from the court. But God keeps his records. People burn their building to hide their iniquities. Let me tell you, you burn the building, you hide that iniquity, you will not hide that iniquity from Almighty God. You will not. You will reap what you have sown with great increase. Principle number three, God pays back. God pays back. Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verses 10, the word says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." I, the Lord, search the heart. This is very important because man might not know what is in your heart, but whatever that you are harboring within your heart cannot escape God's eyes. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It's a law. It's a principle. It's a way of life. Being conscious about these things, the Lord God sets the heart to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So whatever that a man is doing, you have to know that it is producing a fruit. Your fruit must be good or it must be bad. That is why if you sow, you will reap. So the product, the fruit itself, the quality of that fruit, this is what we are talking about here. And he is saying that he is going to reward you accordingly, according to the results of your doings. These things are so important because sometimes you do things and it seems like you are not being rewarded. It is not for you to do things for people to reward you, because a man's reward remains a man's reward, but God's reward, it is what makes a man. It is God's reward that makes a man. A true blessings that are coming from the Lord, these are the ones that you can stand on, because God is not a man to lie. A man can reward you today and disappoint you tomorrow, and you'll be extremely grieved. But the faithfulness of God is that the rewards of God remain faithful in your life. Principle number four, which means that he said, nothing is hidden from God. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. Principle number four, nothing is hidden from God. The book of Amos, chapter 9, and the verse is 2-4. The word of God says, he said, though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. They dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. There is no hiding place. There is no hiding place for nobody. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. They hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I, the Lord, will search and take them out. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea. You see, we have people that go there. The evil things that are being happening under the sea. And they are thinking that they are out of God's sight. The Lord said, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. I will command the serpent, and he shall bite them under the sea. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword. Will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set my eyes upon them for evil, and will not set it for good. I will set my eyes upon them for evil. Principle number four, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. It is important for you to have that, you know, because sometimes people wrong us and we want to retaliate. Sometimes so much injustice that are done, and you look at yourself, you say that I have the ability to retaliate. What do you want? You want God to fight your battle, or you want to fight this battle yourself? Do you want God to fight your battle, or you want to fight this battle yourself? It is better to let it in the hand of Almighty God. Our responsibility as Christians, living in the consciousness of God and doing the right thing. I keep saying, I said that, you see, you have to protect yourself, because as you know that if someone wronged you, you cannot pay them back with evil, then you have to protect yourself. Where you should not be, please don't go there. where you are not supposed to be there, don't go there. There are situations that are not convenient or conducive for a child of God. If it's not conducive for you, why would you be there? You want to protect yourself. You want to protect the calling of God over your life. You want to protect your life. You want God to be able to protect you. You want to have a case where God can defend you. Whatever a man soweth, he will reap. These principles are something that everyone and each one of us might be very, very, very careful, knowing that we have called by God to do God's will over this earth here. So, in other words, you have to sow to yourselves in righteousness, then you will reap mercy. Sow to yourself in righteousness, and you will reap mercy. This is coming from the book of Hosea, chapter 10, and the verses 12. He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon your life. You see that? Sow to yourselves in righteousness. And that is what I'm saying. I said that you have to be conscious about your every single day life, what you do. You have to be able to die, carry your cross and die every day. Consciousness of the newest of life and living in the glory of the Lord. And he said that when you live in the consciousness of righteousness, you shall be rewarded. Living to seek the Lord, God will come and rain righteousness over your life. God will come and rain righteousness over your life. The wickedness you sow, you will reap the same. For every sin that you commit, you have to know that one day or another, it shall visit you. Every single sin that you commit, one day or another, it is not good to be wicked. God's plan for wicked people is just destructive. The Lord takes no pleasure in wickedness. But we have to know that it is real, because we have people that have set themselves just for destruction. They are not in business to allow anyone to serve this God. They will never come. God knows that they will never come. And they have set themselves to live a life of wickedness. You don't want to be a victim. You do not want to be a victim. And their whole purpose is to have what? They pray. And they pray are the children of God. So their purpose is to seek for your destruction. What do you do? You better watch what you do. As a child of God. The book of Job. Job chapter 4 and the verses 7 and 8. The word says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished. He said, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. It's a question. Whoever perished being innocent. It is the hand, the powerful hand of God that watch over the righteous ones. You stay in the righteousness of God, God's eyes is watching over you. And he will make sure that the works of the enemy has no power over your life. But you entertain unrighteousness in your life, you are just making the way for the enemy to destroy you. So he said, who is out there that perish when he is innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Where were the righteous cut off? You know, not in the sight of this God that we serve. The Lord rewards the righteous as he rewards the unrighteous. What you sow, you reap. You sow evil against the people of God. You sow evil against the plan of God. You want to live here and frustrate the purpose of Almighty God. You have to know that God will frustrate your life. God will frustrate your purpose. God will frustrate anything that you trying to do against his kingdom. You sow, you will reap. He said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. God said that I have even they that sow iniquity. They plot iniquity, they sow wickedness. God said they will reap the same. It's a principle. It's a law. You know, that day may come probably so many years after you have done it. When you have, you know, you do wrong, you wrong someone, you have done something that's wicked, and the person did not avenge, left it in God's hands. Down the road, when the Lord is visiting you with your iniquity that you did years ago, you might not even remember. But that day of visitation would definitely come. It may come when you are not expecting it. Because the principle is that from a single grain of corn that you put on the ground, the Lord God watches over it for that grain to come up, to shoot up. Do you know how many grains you get out of that one that you put on the ground? So many of them. So it is. It's a principle. The sowing and the reaping. We saw there is an increase that takes place within the ground where we have no control. God has absolute control of what is hidden. And we saw it. There is no hiding place for nobody. No one is going scot-free. You know, this has to assure you because it will empower you to serve this God in righteousness. It will empower you to be able to forgive people. Because you are not taking any vengeance yourself. But in the consciousness of living in protection, in the power of God, you are moving ahead. You are moving ahead. Why? Because you know the kingdom principles. You take vengeance in your hands, God cannot defend you. You release it in God's hands, you are moving on. You are moving on. That is the reason why I keep saying that, you know what, when you have come to grace, when you have come being empowered by the Spirit that is in the grace, the Holy Spirit, there are so many things of this world that will not even bother you. Things that used to get you angry, you will not be angry about those things anymore. Because you start, your eyes are open unto heavenly things. And the things that people consider so much, they are nothing before you. Why? Because you are chasing a life that is towards heaven. You see what they don't see. You value what they don't value. Your system value is completely different from the ones that they have. And they get angry. They go and do wickedness and all that. You are not, because you are living a heavenly life on earth. So important. If your Father is Almighty God, you will live in the consciousness of his power. That's one thing that I keep saying. I said that God, he's not a man to lie. And every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it is because he's faithful. And the faithfulness of God is that when God releases a promise in your life, you have to know that he talks in his power. He talks in his abilities. He talks in his capabilities. What God cannot do, he will not say it. If he said it, it's because, matter of fact, it's already done. Because I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, thought of good and not evil to bring you to the expected end. So he has an end already before you even start. Say, good God. Some people live having fellowship with God and they are thinking that they can just be playing with the things of God. You can't. You should not entertain sin in your life as a child of God. Your eyes, your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit has to be constantly mindful of this kingdom principle. What you sow, you reap. You might not reap it here, but you will reap it in heaven. You can't escape anything. You know, David was a man that God said, this is a man after my own heart. A man after God's own heart. You are a child of God. Another son or another daughter after God's own heart. The apple of his eyes. Will you be entertaining sin in your life and thinking that you'll be going scot-free because you are God's own heart? Be careful what you do. There is a story about David. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and the verse is 2 to 5. The word of God says, it came to pass in an eventide, that is the evening, that David, King David, arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uri the Hittite? So David stood from the bed. And as he was walking on his the palace from up there, he saw a woman bathing, and he looked. That's the problem. Lost of the eye. There is nothing wrong looking. You can look, but don't look and look again. The lost of the eye, if you cannot look, you can't see where you are going. But the problem is looking and looking again. He looked. And lust came in. And he inquired of that woman called Bathsheba. And David was told that the woman is married because this woman is Uriah's wife. He was told. And David, even though he was told, sent messengers and took her. Verse 4. And she came in unto him, and he laid with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. You see, are you in the position of power, and you are using your power to sin? The woman was married. David knew she was married, yet a man after God's own heart. Look at what he did. You know, some people in the New Testament compare themselves with some of the Old Testament saints and said that even David, let me tell you, in the case of David, if David had what you have today, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, I'm pretty sure that this man wouldn't have done this. He laid with the woman. And the same 2 Samuel 11, 14 to 17, he said, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. So the same David, Joab is the commander-in-chief of David's army. When the husband Uriah came home to visit the wife, David spent time with him and wrote a letter, gave it to him, seal the letter and give it to him. He said, when you get back to the battlefield, give it to the commander-in-chief, Joab. You have to see the mind that plots wickedness. The mind that plots wickedness. The man was holding the letter of sentence to death, his own sentence to death. He wrote that letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. David told Joab, his commander-in-chief, Joab, this letter is for you. Please, put Uriah in the hottest line of battle so that he will be killed. And it came to pass, Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that violent men were. So Uriah's strength was not at the level of the violent men. So he put him where his strength is short, because all his intention was to kill him. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. David knew that Uriah did not have that strength. So he told Joab, put Uriah in a place that he would die. And that's exactly what Joab did. And Uriah died. And the same 2 Samuel 11 verse 27, he said, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched Bathsheba to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The thing that David has done displeased the Lord. No matter who you are, and whatever fellowship that you have with God, and whoever that you call yourself, let me tell you, there are certain things that when you do them, it displeases Almighty God. God is displeased. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 to 12. Let me read it quickly. God is displeased and sent his prophet Nathan and said to David, thou art the man, that says the Lord God of Israel. I, the Lord, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. The Lord said, God is displeased, and said, David, what have you done? Have done great things for your life. If there is anything more that you needed, why wouldn't you have asked me? Wherefore, verse 9, hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? God saw what David has done. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, David, you listen. Now, therefore, because of what you have done, the sword shall never depart from thy house. You see that? The sword shall never depart from thy house. What you sow, you will reap. You killed one, God point back the sword to your house. The sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil. I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. And I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the light, in the sight of this man. You know, what you reap, you sow with increase. You went to somebody's home, you destroyed that home. God said, I will destroy your home too. You use the sword to destroy the man. God said, I will use the sword to destroy your household. Sometimes we minimize this God. We say, God is so good. Since I'm a child of God, so if I do this, God will forgive me. Of course, God will forgive you. That does not mean that you will not pay for what you have done. God has forgiven you. That is why when people wrong you, forgive them, because the judgment is not yours. God is the one that is going to judge them. Move on with the life that God has called you to live. And leave the vengeance to God. No one is going scot-free. Nobody is going scot-free. That is why I said, do not entertain sin in your life. Please, see this Jesus and follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life. A life where your heart is always pumping with joy for the kingdom purpose. Everything that anyone is doing in the surface of this earth, everybody is going to pay for what he's doing. Everyone. And the Lord said, I will give your wives to your neighbors, and they will lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. You did it secretly. Verse 12, he said, for thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before all the sun. Simple. You did it secretly, I will do it openly. So it was such a great battle in David's house. David's house was not a house of peace at all, because of what God had pronounced concerning his evil against him. David's evil against God. You know, Absalom and Amon were David's sons. In the same line, 2 Samuel 13, verse 1 says, he said, it came to pass after these things that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, so beautiful sister, whom name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Okay? In David's own house, the children. So, in verse 14, how be it? He will not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So now, David went to somebody's house, Uriah's house, to fornicate, took the wife. God started, he said, I will raise war in your own house. The children are sleeping together. The children are raping their own, you know, household, their blood. Absalom is David's son. Amon, the brother. Sister is Tamar. He said, Amon went and raped Absalom's sister, Tamar. Upon all the screaming and everything, he would not hear anything and move in and rape her. It doesn't stop here. In verse 28 to 29, he said, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smitten Amon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be violent. You know, long story short, the same Amon that slept with Absalom's sister, Tamar, Absalom also planned to kill the brother Amon. And he did exactly that. You sent a letter to Joab to kill Uriah the Hittite. God don't need no letter to your household to bring that evil upon the house. Complete chaos. So you could imagine, it's not like David is dead and these things are happening. David is alive and well, and these things are happening in his household. I remember, I'm very sure that this man could remember every single word of Almighty God. Probably pleading before the Lord, but things were still happening. Not that, the same Absalom now wanted to take over his father's throne. And this is in Samuel, 2 Samuel 15, 13 to 14. He said, there came to pass a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. His own son now coming after his throne simply because of evil. Not only that, the same Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 22 to verse 21 to 22, he said, Ahithophel, that was Absalom's counselor, said to Absalom, go in into thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent onto the top of the house. And Absalom went in into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. God said that you slept with somebody's wife secretly. I will let people sleep with your wives openly. He didn't know. It was his own son, Absalom, that took his wives, David's wives, and slept with them on top. It was from the top that David saw Bathsheba and saw that she was beautiful and went. Even though they told him she's married, did not stop. His own son is after him. His own son is after his children. His own son is after his wives. His own son is after his kingdom. God is a God that is a righteous God that has a principle. You sow and you will reap. There is nothing like favorites. There is nothing like favorites. Are you the favorite one of God? So you can just come and do whatever that you want to do and displease Almighty God and just go scot-free because you are the favorite of God, right? It doesn't work that way. Please, it's a kingdom. A kingdom has rules and regulations. It's a kingdom. A kingdom has rules and regulations. You follow and you receive what comes out of the God's covenant. You don't follow, and you also receive what comes out of the God's covenant. It is either good or bad, but whatsoever that a man soweth, you will reap, and you will reap with increase. May the Lord God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless.